Well, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a blessing it is to be here this morning to share God's precious and holy word. And I am thankful for the opportunity to be here at the Seven Oaks congregation. Appreciate the elders' invitation or Josh's or however that worked out. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I've heard a lot about the Seven Oaks Church through the years. Josh, I performed Josh and Amanda's wedding ceremony in the year 2000 as they brought the new millennium in together there. So I've known Josh and, of course, Amanda, known her. I've been the minister at the Burning Church of Christ for the last 24 years. So in December will be 25, and hopefully we'll make it that long. The Lord's truly blessed us. My name is Stan Dowk, and I'm a graduate of Heritage Christian University, or used to be IBC. Some of you may have known of that in Florence, Alabama. I'm married to Millie. My wife, she grew up in Florence, Alabama. And she is a Harding graduate, so if you get a chance to visit her afterwards. I have two children, Titus and Hannah. Hannah's 22. She'll be 23 in August, and she is starting a PA program at Harding in August. And my son is starting his sophomore year, and he's pre-chiropractic. So that's just a little bit about myself. But I am thankful to be here and thankful to fill this pulpit. I'm honored you allowed me to be here this morning. I know that the young man that preaches in this pulpit every Sunday, Josh Ketchum, is one of the most talented young ministers in the Brotherhood. And y'all are blessed to have Josh Ketchum here. He and his wife are great servants of the Lord. Hope to share some things this morning that will encourage us and motivate us in God's Word. I like the story of the little boy. They were sitting in Bible class one day, and the teacher said, "I want everybody in Bible class to share a happy thought." One of the little girls said, "Oh, I love my puppy. That's a happy thought." Another little girl said, "Oh, I love flowers and butterflies. That's happy thoughts." And another little boy said, "Oh, I love my daddy. That's a happy thought." And little Johnny was sitting over there, and a little bit said, "Johnny, what's a happy thought to you?" And he said, "I think I'm pregnant." And she said, "Johnny, surely you're not pregnant." Said, "Why did you say that's a happy thought?" Said, "Well, it's like this, teacher. This morning we were getting ready for church, and me and my little sister were down at the bottom of the stairs with Dad, and Mama was carrying our baby brother down the stairs, and she said to Daddy, said, I think I'm pregnant." And Daddy turned and said, "Now that's a happy thought." Well, hopefully I'll share some happy thoughts this morning that will encourage us in our walk with God. We're going to be talking a little bit about moving the church forward. And it's important that everyone realize that you're all valuable and significant in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. The Bible says when everyone does their part, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. So I want to share a few things this morning, not anything really brand new, but just some things that perhaps encourage us and some things that we can do in our walk with God to help move the church forward. I think one thing we need to be reminded of is the value of prayer. How important is prayer in our lives? It's something that we as Christians need to realize is so significant. I like the quote by S.D. Gordon. He said this. He said, "The greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is pray. It's not the only thing, but it's the chief thing. The great people of earth are the people who pray. I do not mean people who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray." James said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much," in James chapter 5 and verse 16. James said, "You have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss." When we look at the early church, we see that they were a people that spent much time in prayer. The apostles wanted to spend time in prayer and ministry of the word in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayer, and fellowship. We know that prayer was a vital part of the early church. And so we as Christians need to be a people of prayer. I like the quote that Charles Hodge said. He says, "I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God. Therefore, I pray." Isn't that a powerful thought? If we truly believe in God, we'll be a people of prayer, won't we? And prayer changes things in the lives of people. You see, when we pray, great things can happen in our lives and great things can happen in the lives of others. I love the story
that Tex William shared many years ago when he was a missionary in South Africa. They had been working in particular areas, and they would go out on weekends, and they would try to have enough money to go out to different areas. On one weekend, he had gotten a letter from a particular individual in a particular area of South Africa, but they didn't have enough money to go. But they sent a note back saying, we'll try to get there. Well, a couple of days before they got ready to leave to go, this was back in the 60s or 70s, they got a letter from a widow lady in Greenville, Texas. And she had a curry jar, and she was putting nickels and dimes and quarters and pennies in it, saving the money. And she had been saving and saving and praying that God could use this money to His glory. And she knew that Tex was doing this mission work, and she didn't know what was going on. But Tex had said he would go to this particular area to teach these people, but he didn't have the money. And so that particular, a couple of days before he was to leave, to go to that particular area, this lady had sent a cashier's check for $27.50. At that time, it was just enough money for enough gas to get to that particular area. They went to that particular area, and she said, I'm sending this check, and I want you to know that I'm praying every day, in the morning, in the evening, I'm praying several times a day that God can use this money to His glory. Well, Tex Williams and another individual went to that particular area. They taught the only educated man in that area. He was a school teacher. They taught him the gospel. There were seven that obeyed the gospel that time. There were nine that obeyed the gospel the next time. They established a church. They went back to that area and established another church. Hundreds were converted to Christ through that woman sending $27.50 and praying every day. Does prayer change things? I remember several years ago, we were getting ready for church camp. As I'm sure Ryan's getting ready for church camp. We had a guy that his health wasn't that good, but he wanted to send some kids to camp. He gave me some money to send some kids to camp. And I said, Ronnie, I said, I know you can't get out. I said, but I want you to pray that God will use us this summer at camp to lead some people to Christ. And that summer at camp, we had about 70 campers, and we had 10 people that obeyed the gospel. Do you think that prayer had a part in those young people becoming children of God? You see, prayer changes things. It opens doors. You know, and sometimes we don't know what to say, but there's great value in prayer. One of my favorite stories, several years ago, I was studying. There was a lady that I knew. I knew her family, and she was dying. She had cancer. She had brain cancer. And she was having good days and bad days. And some days she didn't know what was going on. And I was visiting with her one day. And this lady had never obeyed the gospel. Her family was not religious. They didn't go to church anywhere. But they felt like Mama was okay. Because, you know, their belief was just very limited. You know, she didn't have to know much. Didn't have to obey the gospel. She just knew God. They felt like she was okay. Well, I went over there and I was sitting around. And all of her family's sitting around. And I'm sitting there. And I'm talking to this lady. She's dying with brain cancer. And she looks at me. And you remember, all of her family thinks she's okay, even though she's not obeyed the gospel. And she looks at me, Ryan, and she says, do you think I'm going to heaven? Oh. Oh, and then how do you answer that question? Because you got everybody around. And they think Mama's going to heaven. They think everything's okay. And I said, that's a great question. I said, I want to come back tomorrow and I want to study with you and we'll talk about it so you can be sure you're going to heaven. Well, all of her family had been around her the whole time. And I thought, what am I going to do? She had a nephew. He happened to be a preacher up in St. Louis. I called him. I said, you've got to come down and help me with this situation. I don't know how to deal with this. Like I say, in some days she was better than other days. Well, I called him and he was able to come down. That night, I was anxious, and I did a lot of praying. And I prayed. I said, God, please give me wisdom. I went to bed praying. I woke up three or four times during the night praying. When I got up that morning, I was praying, and I was just that gut-wrenching thing inside. God, please help me. Please help things to work out. Well, I got there at the house. Her nephew, Dempsey, showed up at the house. Everybody in the family left but me and Dempsey. And her mind was the best it had been in weeks. And in 15 minutes, we sit down and we study with her, talked about the importance of obeying the gospel, about being united with Christ in baptism. And she said, I'm ready to be baptized into Christ. Do you think prayer has something to do with that? Do you think God can open doors and remove boundaries and things that are holding us back in our walk with God? And not only that, but it was unique because she was
on hospice and she was on oxygen, we went and got one of those 3-ring inflatable pools and filled it up on her back porch, wheeled her out, lowered her in the pool, baptized her into Christ, and a few days later she passed away and went to be with the Lord. But you see, prayer has a part in our walk with God. And if we're going to be a people of God, we've got to be a people that pray. Because it changes things, it opens doors, and it gives us opportunities to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Secondly, I want us to realize the importance of doing little things. You know, God can do little as much when God is in it. God can use little things to accomplish great things. What did he use with Moses in Exodus chapter 4? A staff in his hand. In Judges chapter 15, we read about Samson using the jawbone of a donkey. David took on Goliath with 5 smooth stones. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 and fed the multitude. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44, God brought about a great storm, the cloud size of a man's hands. You see, many times in our lives, we think it's not about, I've got to be able to do great things. It's not about the great things. It's about doing what you can for God. And God will bless it and make great things happen. He says, pure and undefiled religion is what? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And when you read about in Matthew chapter 25, when they're standing before the day of judgment, he doesn't say, well, you come on in because you've preached 1,000. You come on in because you've baptized hundreds. You come on in because you're a talented song leader like Ryan, and Ryan is a talented song leader. He said, no, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. You see, it's not about the big things, it's about the small things. And if we'll do the small things, God can use the little things to open doors and to change lives. And that's what I want to challenge you this morning to realize. Every one of you can do something for God and change lives. I mean, you don't even realize what you can do if you'll just make your life available to God. One of my favorite stories, John Clayton tells a story years ago when he was preaching down outside of Houston, Texas, at a congregation of about 120 members. And a lady from the congregation came up to him and she said, I would like to start a cradle roll class, a nursery class. We don't have one in this congregation, and I would like for you, John was a visiting preacher, would you present the elders with this idea? I'd like to teach a cradle roll class. And so he said, well, sure. He went in there with her, and they met with the elders, and one of the elders, quote from one of the elders, said, let's hurry up and get this over with. We don't have time to mess with babies. But anyways, they said, all right, you can have the old workroom down there. And they went down there. She cleaned it out, had lawnmower and dirt and cobwebs and everything. Cleaned it all out. Her husband was kind of a carpenter, made a little stool thing or seat thing where they could put pumpkin seats, where they could put the little babies in them. And so the next Sunday, she started her cradle roll class, and she had 2 babies, her granddaughter and a little girl that she babysat. But she was so excited because she could teach babies about Jesus. And she got really excited about it. And she started reading the paper, and every time somebody had a new baby, she would take them a care package and a new blanket, saying, I would be honored if you'd let me teach your child about God. And I am so thankful that God has blessed you with this wonderful gift, and it would be an honor for our church to be able to teach your child about God. And she did this time after time after time after time. 7 years later, John Clayton came back to that area and was visiting. Showed up that congregation that had been 120 members for about 100 years. That congregation now was 320 members. And they walked in there, and there was this huge wing off to the side, and it was a cradle row class. And John walked in there, and there were 76 babies in that class. And one lady said, I drive 30 miles every Sunday so my child can be in Phyllis Watkins' cradle row class. The church had gone from 120 to 320. They had baptized 35 couples through that ministry because a woman got excited about teaching babies about Jesus. And what's more amazing about that story was Phyllis Watkins was 76 years of age when she began that ministry. Isn't it amazing what God can do when we present our lives to Him? We don't think much about it. Oh, it's just teaching babies about Jesus. But we know that God can do great things through that. And you know, we could have story after story after story about individuals who can teach others. Who can, maybe it's doing a World Bible School lesson. Maybe it's some of you, I know, I'm familiar with a lady by the name of Karen Legate, who passed away a few years ago, had 29 surgeries at the age of 47. But she regularly had over 3,000 students in World Bible School and converted thousands and thousands to Christ through World Bible School. You see, if we'll just do something, maybe it's sending a card. I read about a lady who wanted to start a card ministry, and so they read about they found out people who had been in the hospital, and they would send them a card and say, for example, Seven Oaks Church of Christ, just want to let you know we're praying for you and we're thinking about you. Well, after a few weeks of that, one particular Sunday, there was a couple that walked into services. This congregation wasn't as large as Seven Oaks. It was about a congregation of about 50 or 60 members, so everybody knew who they were when they came in. It was the Garrison family. And the invitation song was sung, and Eldon and his wife walked forward, and they said, we just got a card in the mail from someone. We didn't go to church anywhere. We didn't have a church family, and someone's praying for us. Somebody's thinking about us. We don't know anything about God. We want to learn about God. The next week, they came back, and they were baptized into Christ. Their whole family came to witness the baptism. And others were led to Christ because of that. You see, can you do that? Can you send a card to somebody who's been sick and say, we've been praying for you. We're thinking about you. We're making the difference in the lives of people. Can you do little things? It can make a difference in the lives of people. I can share story after story. A preacher friend I knew several years ago in Bono, Arkansas, went to a nursing home every week. And he would go to the nursing home. One particular lady in that nursing home, she had Alzheimer's. She didn't know what was going on. And he would walk in and she'd say, hi, my name is so-and-so. What's your name? And he'd say, my name is John. I can't remember the guy's name. But he said, my name is John. And then she'd say, hi, my name is so-and-so. What's your name? And he'd say, well, my name is John Smith. And she'd say, hi, my name is so-and-so. What's your name? And he'd say, my name is John Smith, and I preach at the Bono Church of Christ. He made it a point every week to go by and see this lady. And he would spend 15 to 20 minutes every week over and up. My name is John Smith. I'm at the Bono Church of Christ. I'm married to so-and-so. I have 3 children. Every week, week after week after week after week after week after week, she passed away. He did her funeral. And as a result of doing her funeral, he baptized 18 family members in Christ. You see, can you do that? Can I do that? You see, it's not always about preaching to the masses. It's not always about being the great orator. It's about doing what God can allow us to do. And there's just so many opportunities of what God wants to do in your life. I see all these young people sitting up here, and I just know. I know God can do great things in your life. I appreciate these young people sitting here. They do that at Bernie, too. They sit up front on Bernie. We've got some great kids. We're so blessed. But if you remember the value of prayer, if you remember, just remember, the little things mean a lot. Little as much when God is in it. And thirdly, and finally, this idea of something we all can do, and that is be an encourager. We live in a world full of hurting and lonely people. If you were to ask this congregation this morning, how many in this audience get too much encouragement? Is there anybody here who gets too much encouragement? I mean, my wife just encourages me too much. My husband, they just praise me too much. Or I just get too much encouragement. No, none of us do that, do we? We all like encouragement. It motivates us. You see, when we think about complimenting somebody this week or saying something to build them up, I think one of the things that we as Christians have been called to do is to encourage one another. He says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, encourage one another daily. Not weekly, not monthly. He says you encourage one another daily. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up unto love and good works. And then he says, but encouraging one another so much more as you see the day approaching.
You see, there were some Christians who were getting weary, who were getting tired, and they wanted to give up in their walk with God. And he says, you encourage one another daily. He says, you stir each other into love and good works. You motivate each other. You build each other up, because encouragement makes a difference in the lives of people. When I think of encouragement, I think about my life and where I would be. You see, when I was 14 years of age, my family wasn't going to church. And one day I was out in a cow pasture hitting golf balls with a friend. And there was one of those big, long joy buses that came up. They saw us out in the cow pasture, and they walked out in the cow pasture where I was hitting golf balls, and they invited me to church. The guy I was hitting balls with actually did go to church there. And so he said, well, so if Robert goes with you, will you ride the bus tomorrow? I said, well, okay, I'll do that. So the next morning I get up and I go to church. And these people began to encourage me and said, we're just so glad you came and we're glad you're here. And I started riding the joy bus. I believe that was in March. And in August, I made the decision to walk down that aisle and be baptized into Christ. No family going to church at that time, just me going to church. And yet I kept going. And they kept encouraging me, and I wanted to be there, and they kept encouraging me. And when I was 16 years of age, we were out on Saturday canvassing, trying to invite people to church on the joy bus, Ryan. 16 years of age, they pulled the bus over, 66-passenger bus, said, you got your driver's license, you're 16, you drive. You can't do that nowadays. Fortunately, I'd been on the farm enough, I could drive a bus. But I started driving the joy bus. And I can remember as a young man, I would try to get up and lead songs. And I remember leading Empty Mansion, and there was a lady with tears in her eyes. She said, I just love it when you lead that song. Exie Jones. And she would encourage me. And then through the years, a lot of people encouraged me, and I got into ministry, and I came to Bernie. And I got to Bernie, and people encouraged me, people like Joanne Gregg and Marie Mays and Letha Burleson and Dee Mays and S.T. Gregg. And those people don't mean anything to you. You may not know any of them at all. But I know they made a difference in my life because they encouraged me. They said something to me. They helped me along the way. And most of all, God has blessed me with Millie, my wonderful wife, who's such an encouragement to me in my ministry. December will be 30 years she's put up with me. But you never know how encouragement can change the lives of people, and what word you may share can change the life of somebody. Charles Abernathy is a good friend of mine, preaches in Chisholm Hills in Florence, Alabama. We were looking for a summer intern one year. I was visiting Crowley's Ridge College. Another young man I knew, I wanted him to come to Bernie, very talented young man. And he was standing right next to Charles. And I said, Brad, I said, I want you to come be our summer intern at Bernie. Need somebody to come work with the kids on the weekends. Can you do that? And Charles was standing right next to him. Charles had just became a Christian. He was just a brand new Christian. I said, Charles, I said, you know, you can be a minister. I said, why don't you come with him? They looked at each other and said, okay. Now, you remember, Brad was the one I wanted. Brad was one, when he was 17 years old, could get up, preach a 30-minute sermon, never look at a note. Very talented. Well, Brad no longer in ministry. But the young man named Charles, I said, well, you can come. And he started coming over. Charles was a new Christian. Charles couldn't find books of the Bible. He would paperclip passages together to try to preach. And one time he paperclipped wrong passages together, so he had to just pull all the paperclips out and go to the front concordance while he was preaching. But Charles had potential. I thought, well, we'll just keep encouraging him. Charles worked with Bernie that summer. Elder minister from Sykeson called, and they hired him in December, to believe it or not, as the youth minister. Charles went on into pulpit minister, and Charles is now one of the most talented ministers in the Brotherhood. But what I didn't even realize, just said, Charles, you know, you can do ministry. You can make a difference just by encouraging somebody. You never know what you can encourage them to do. Some of you may have heard of a man by the name of Basil Overton. Basil was head of the World Evangelists out of Florence, Alabama. I asked Basil one time, I said, Basil, why did you become a preacher? And he said, well, that's a good question. He said, one time when I was 14 years of age, one of my neighbors walked up to me and said, you look like a preacher. And he said, you know, I guess I can do that. And he became a preacher. Does encouragement make a difference in the lives of people? We need to look for people who need encouragement. Because everybody needs encouragement. There may be some in this audience that are struggling this morning that need some encouragement, that need to be built up. I'm glad you're here. Because you're an encouragement to me just by being here. But everywhere you go, there's people who need encouragement. There's people who need to be built up. When I think of encouragement, we need to look for people who need encouragement. Teddy Stollard was one of those young men who needed encouragement. He was disinterested in school, musty, wrinkled clothes, his hair's never combed. One of those kids at school that had a deadpan face, expressionless, glossy, unfocused. When Miss Thompson spoke to Teddy, she always spoke in monosyllables. Unattractive, unmotivated, distant. Just plain hard to like. And even though Miss Thompson said she loved all the students the same, she really didn't. She got a special joy out of making a big X when Teddy missed a question, or putting a big red F on the top of his paper. She should have known better. You see, she had the progress report. The progress report said this. First grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude. But he has a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. But mother is seriously ill, receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but he's too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died last year. Fourth grade, Teddy's very slow, but well behaved. His father shows no interest. Well, Teddy's in Miss Thompson's fifth grade class, and it's about Christmas time, and all the kids are bringing presents to Miss Thompson for Christmas. And they all bring their packages around. Teddy, he didn't have much. He just wrapped something in a little round brown paper bag, put a little scotch tape on it, and said, to Miss Thompson from Teddy. Well, she opened up the packages, and she finally got to Teddy's packages. And when she opened Teddy's package, it was a half a bottle of perfume and a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the rhinestones missing. Some of the kids began to giggle just a little bit, but Miss Thompson, she didn't want to embarrass anybody, so she put a little bit of the perfume on her wrist, and she said, oh, smell of this, and said, it smells good, and had all the kids smell of it, and they began to say, oh, yeah, it smells good. After class that day, Teddy walked up to Miss Thompson, and he said, Miss Thompson, did you like my present? He said, my mother's perfume really smells good on you, Miss Thompson. And her bracelet's really pretty on you. After Teddy left that day, Miss Thompson decided, I'm going to change my life. And she started working with kids that were really struggling, and she spent a lot of time working with Teddy. And she worked day after day after day with Teddy, trying to help him to get caught up. And by the end of the year, Teddy had caught up with all the other kids in school and was even ahead of some of them. Well, Teddy and his father had moved off, but several years later, she received a letter from Teddy Stollard. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to know I'll be graduating second in my class from high school. Love, Teddy. 4 years later, she received another letter, said, Dear Miss Thompson, college has been hard, but I'm going to graduate first in my class, and I wanted you to be the first to know. Another 4 years passed by, says, Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I'm Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that?
I wanted you to be the first to know. Dad died last year. And I don't have any family, and I want you to come sit. I'm getting married next month, and I want you to come sit in the place of my mama. And she did. What made the difference in Teddy's life was encouragement. What makes the difference in my life is encouragement. And what makes the difference in everybody else's lives is the way we encourage. And I wonder how many lives could be changed through encouragement. Where would I be if I hadn't had encouragement? I'd be lost away from God. But people love me enough to encourage me. And we all need encouragement. Today I want to encourage you to become a child of God. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to make that decision. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." The greatest thing you can do is become a Christian. To be united with Christ in baptism. I mean, folks, that's an incredible thing. A few weeks ago, I witnessed two young ladies baptized into Christ, and I just thought about that moment. That moment, they became children of God. How awesome is that? Or maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christian, but you're struggling and you need some encouragement. That's what the church family's for. To encourage you, to help you, to build you up. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.